Father, those young people have blessed us, their families, your work of grace in every life. This season, Lord, that we would celebrate the way the angels did when they saw what you did. Bless these thoughts. Meet needs on a very deep level this season. Save people that are lost. Heal people that are in trouble. Answer our cry. Meet our needs because you are our God, our good God, our great God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Couple of points, just housekeeping, I guess we would say. Sunday morning of Christmas, we will have a 11 o'clock service here. If you want to come, you are welcome. You're not obliged, but we have 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. We have also in the evening 6:30. In the morning, early at 8 o'clock, Dan Sergioni is going to go out and minister to the homeless like he does every Christmas. So if you want to go with him at 8 in the morning, then you can be out on the street on Christmas Day, some of our folks. There's a wide variety of options because we have about 200 African immigrants in our church that would automatically love to be here for a Christmas service. We have visitors coming from out of town. But we also have a Friday night service for you if you want to spend that Christmas day with your family at home. You are free to do it. That Friday night, we have a candlelight service. And then on Sunday, again, there's the 11 and the evening, which is up to you and your family. The second thing is Louise here. Maybe Louise, would you stand up for just a second and then put up on the screen my map of the Yucatan. Louise is Mexican. He's from the Yucatan Peninsula. His dad is a pastor down there. Maybe you can see it there. It's this part of Mexico. And he's a Bible college student here. He's a disciple. His dad is on a motor scooter going from village to village with the gospel. And he's going down for 2 weeks, getting on radio. It's a 150-mile radius station, and preaching the finished work and doing that day after day. So thank you. We want to recognize that. Okay, I would like to speak from Luke chapter 2. Would you turn there, please? Luke chapter 2, and the title of the message, in essence, we wish we could celebrate Christmas like the angels did. We all have maybe different experiences regarding Christmas. In my childhood, it was a fantastic holiday. Our family, we celebrated it with all our hearts, bought a lot of presents. My dad probably went into debt, or not back in those days, but worked hard to make it a big event, eating food, entertainment, the excitement of children on Christmas time. Then there are friends, a good Christmas when friends get together. And they celebrate in different ways. They spend time. It's a time to catch up in the year by mail and postcards and Christmas cards and news. And we recognize that. And then sometimes people overspend, overwork, overgive. And at the end of the holiday, we're sitting in the beginning of January in debt and exhausted. Not to dampen our attitude, but only to say that the holiday for many people is lived on the surface. And I would like to introduce to you tonight, and we do this every service, God does it, and he speaks to our heart and brings us to a deeper place. There are a number of things that I want to say. I have four of them on my paper here. And so let's start here from Luke chapter 2. There's one text, and it is in chapter 2, and we see verse 10. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace and goodwill toward men." First point, angels. It takes a little imagination, a lot of meditation in the Word, and an understanding and embracing in your heart and your spirit that angels exist, that angels see the face of God, that angels are in a world where there is no error, there is no sin, no fear, there is no pain. They see God and are in the presence of our holy and almighty God. We are friends of angels in a sense. We love them because God is love. And we love them. They actually are not worshipped by us, obviously. Revelation 19:10. We do not worship angels, but we recognize that they are a part of the plan in creation. They are the first ones that God made. And then when he made the universe, and I like to think of the universe as just as dust and dirt and gas and stones, meteors and asteroids and burning gases, stars, and so on. And the angels saw it in Job 38:7, and they sang praise to God. And I want to call that like first degree praise. Wow! Amazing! And how many angels were there but multitudes? And they enjoyed it, and they saw it, and they praised God for creation. Really. There are some angels that are so powerful. There's one in the book of Revelation 18, verse 2, that when he comes here, he illuminates the whole earth by his presence. One angel. Angels that have power. I have a short list here of the angels that we read in the scripture and what they do in the plan of God. They observe our walk. They are messengers of our King. They are helpers in our distresses. They are fighters for our final victory. They are guardians of the divine world order. They are executors of the divine judgments. And they are worshipers because of the divine acts of redemption. Now, the angels, they see it. They recognize it. It's real. I don't know, can you be there in your mind and in your heart? The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things below. Have you ever thought about how life can throw you a dagger? And you can grab the dagger by the blade or grab the dagger by the handle. Life is troublesome. Angels know that. More seriously, the angels saw a third of them fall. The angels that came here at Bethlehem, they had seen a third of them that fell from heaven. And what did they know about that? God tolerates no sin. God tolerates no iniquity. God has no tolerance for rebellion. They understood it. And a third of the angels at one moment in time, a flash, like lightning, Christ said in Luke 10, verse 19, they fell. Now the angels see another degree of glorious work by God. God took the earth, he kind of put it here by the sun, so far from our star, and he had it spinning, and then an atmosphere, magnetic powers, and a shield from asteroids and debris from space, and he had it turn a certain speed and go around our star, and then he planted a garden there, and he put man out of the dust of the ground. And the angels saw that and said, wow, amazing. I don't see that in any dirt out in the universe, but on this place, the angels saw that. They did. Then the third thing they saw, Satan came into the garden, and they saw man obey Satan. And the angels saw the fall, and they saw the devastating effect of the fall. The angels saw death. They saw Cain kill his brother Abel. They saw a burial. They saw a body go in the ground, like in a cemetery, in a grave. The angels saw death at work, and they're saying, God, God is great, God is powerful, God tolerated no sin by Lucifer, no iniquity, and he tolerates no sin from man. The angels saw that. And then, you know, when they found out in heaven that God, perhaps he did do this, share it with them, that I am going down to the earth. Because we know the prophets said it, didn't they? That behold, a son is given, a child is born. His name will be called Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That the Christ would come. And it finally happened on this day. The angels tell, one angel goes to the shepherds and say, come on over here, in effect. And they say to the shepherd, there's something great happening, something amazing happening. The shepherds are poor people. The shepherds are simple people. But the angel comes down and says, come on over here. Come over here to Bethlehem. And they come over there, and there the angels come in great numbers, and they say something that they have not yet said before, and it is, glory to God in the highest. To the highest degree. This is greater than the dust of the universe, the stars, the paradise. This is greater than man and the fall of man and the penalty on him for his sin. This is the answer that the angels didn't get in their race. If angels were envious, they would say, ah, God is going to save man. But what did he do for us angels? A third of us are lost. How fair is that? How right is that? But no angel would say such words because their mind is not like ours. Our fallen condition of envy and bitterness. They'd say, God is unjust. God is not fair. Angels are lost. And he does nothing to save them. Well, they didn't say that. And that's how it should be for us. How do you celebrate Christmas? in the bitterness and envy of your soul? Because somebody is richly blessed and you are not? Because somebody has something you do not have? How do you and I celebrate Christmas? We ought to celebrate it like the angels did, which was, I cannot believe it. It is an incredible degree of glory to God that he would come here and suffer such great loss to his dignity and his honor. He would pay such a great price and dip way down into humanity, into the filth, into the death, into the demonic world, and say, I am here. I will overcome. I will save you. I will save you. How should we celebrate Christmas? I think on the surface of things, it's fantastic. If you don't go into debt and you don't get, you know, you give a present, you don't get one back, and you fall into depression about it. I think it's silly if we live like children and if we live only on the surface in our flesh. But this holiday is a great opportunity to celebrate Christmas the way, excuse me, the way the angels did. Let's analyze it. We'll be done in a minute. Look at what they said. Number one, they said, glory to God in the highest. They are so happy. Angels are so shining. Angels are so energetic. And angels are beaming. Angels are so excited in heaven. I think if you take the warmest table of fellowship amongst us, the happiest group amongst us, get 15 of us around a table, or six, or three of us laughing and loving joyously in the Holy Spirit, and magnify that a few thousand or 10,000 times, and you have a community of angels, and like one of them is leaning in like this, can you believe it? And the angels are like shining brightly and say, what have you seen? Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us observe it. It is so exciting. And they fly. They fly like light to Bethlehem. And they are so full of praise to God. I mean, their praise to God must be of such incredible magnitude. And you sit here and say, yeah, Pastor, but I am not an angel. But I want to suggest something to you. Maybe what we are is greater than the angels. They don't fall down and bleed in their knee. They don't face death. They don't have a dagger thrown at them by fate and grab it by the blade and bleed and suffer like human beings do. They don't have a broken heart or a broken family like we do. They don't have the poverty or the hungry or the foreclosure or the loss of a friend like we do. We have that stuff. But maybe that is to our privilege now to consider to live this life as a privilege, that we bring great glory to God by being in the Spirit of God. Grab that dagger that would hurt you by the handle and say, no, wait a minute. It's kind of like one man said, there is no bad weather. There's only different degrees of good weather. There is no bad weather. There's just different kinds of good weather. To me and you, a hurricane is a good weather. It's refreshing. A rain, a snowstorm, it is another kind of good, because we grab the knife by the handle, because we have been made now to glorify our Heavenly Father, for he came into this world and he took it. He took it. He went to great lengths. The problem with the human race is they don't know how seriously, how painfully, how troubled life is. They don't realize the penalty for our sin and the wrath of God upon people. We have been in the woods over here with Ray, who goes to the homeless people and has done such a great job. And we see people living in tents there. And he does this as a ministry and helps them and brings them some things and helps them along and gives something. Something is better than nothing. Because life is like a dagger thrown at you. How do you handle it? Well, the angels came into this world and they were singing with radiant faces and joyously and incredible, amazing unbelief that God would come here and pay such a price to save us. When in a sense he let the angels fall and that was the end. Their destiny is hell. And he could have done the same for man. We don't get it. We don't get it. But when you get it, you start to say, oh, at Christmas is incredible that God would come here and be incarnated for us so that it would be peace on earth. Read that with me there. It says, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. Remember years ago, there were terrorists on the cathedral in Bethlehem that is built over the birthplace of Christ. They had their machine guns and there was a fight with the Israelis and it happened Christmas time. I thought that was an amazing message. Warfare at Bethlehem at Christmas time when we are singing glory to God on the highest and peace on earth. But can you go to the depths of really what Christmas is? It is not the absence of war. It is the presence of Christ in your heart. It is peace in your life. Do you have peace in your heart? Do you have peace in your life? If you don't have it, you need to get it because that's why you came. Christ came so that you'd have peace. The man that murdered and is in prison tonight has peace in Jesus Christ. The man that's a thief and has upset the lives of many people, he has peace in Jesus Christ. You say that's not fair, and the angels could say the same. I mean, in a sense, everybody could have something to say about justice, but this is not about justice. This is about God, who is just, but he transcends our world, and he says, I am God, and if you know me, then you have peace in your heart. You can sleep at night. What a gift it is to have peace when you have sinned, when you've hurt people, when you wrestle with yourself. I've told the story many times about that man in Hungary I met on the walking street, and he'd gotten out of prison. He was from Holland. And I was soul winning, and I talked. And he said, I can't be forgiven. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I just got out of prison. What happened? He said, I killed a man. I said, how many years were you? He said, 3 years. I said, well, what happened? He said, I was out on the street outside of a bar room, and this guy pulled a knife on me, and we started fighting, and I killed him with his own knife. And he said, I see the blood on my hands every day. Every day in the prison, I saw the blood of that man on my hands every day. And I said, listen, there are three murderers that wrote the Bible. Not the whole Bible, but they wrote parts of it. That was Moses. That was David. That was Paul. And God is a God that forgives. And when Christ came into the world, the angels said, peace on earth. It really is so. And when that peace comes into your heart, you don't ever forget it. You say, amazing. Then the last thing, goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. Why not this Christmas season go to maybe somebody you haven't talked to for a while? Maybe there's something between you. And just say, goodwill. Express goodwill. Why not call up a relative you haven't talked to? All right, why not go to that person that you have a hard time forgiving and say goodwill toward you? That's what Christmas is, goodwill toward you. Yeah, but he's guilty. I know, and so are you. And he doesn't deserve it. I know, and nor do you or I. And you say, yeah, but I don't do those things. Well, get out of your box and have a great Christmas and celebrate it the way the angels did when they declared the message that God has goodwill toward you. Me? Goodwill toward me. God has good intentions toward me. You say, yeah, but God threw a dagger at me. The dagger went through my heart. And we say, grab the dagger by the handle and you will be healed. And walk by faith because God has goodwill toward you. Yeah, but it wasn't right what happened. I know, we all have that story. But can you believe it that God so loved us that he gave his son? That the Son of God is the fullness of the Godhead? That God himself came into this world so your life would be different? That can you believe it that God made our life so that it would be different? Can you, or why do you just live like a man or a woman? Count your offenses. Just go to bed saying it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not right, it's not right. Turn over a new leaf. Do the extraordinary, what God did. Do the thing that people don't generally do, but they will give presents and popcorn machines and they will give out perfume and candy and a lot of food and football games and the whole thing. But is it on the surface of life? And am I not looking for something that is much deeper and greater and more profound that we could worship and celebrate with God on Christmas season and say, glory to God in the highest. It's above human calculation that God himself would come and there would be finally, thank you, God, as an old man with a lot of regret and a lot of hurt and a lot of disappointments. And sometimes I put myself in the man's place just to make up a story. 3 marriages, 7 kids, none of them call. No one cares. He's living alone. He doesn't have many friends. He's 65 years old. Just making up a story. And can I get in there and see that man's heart and his mind and his life and his sadness and his kind of emptiness and loneliness? Yes. Here it is. Yeah, but I am not an angel. Yeah, but maybe you are more than an angel. Maybe you have a capacity to live like Christ. Maybe you have a capacity to digest it and think about it in the right way. Maybe you have a capacity to digest this book and have this book transform you. Maybe you have a capacity to glorify God like the angels cannot do it, but we can. Maybe we can say, yes, Lord. And another thing, the angels went to the shepherds. Some preachers will only go to the TV station. Why do I go to the TV station and the nice, everything nice and clean? Yeah, the angels, no. They don't need a TV station. They're happy to go to the poor, where God hears the cry of the poor, hears the cry of the afflicted. He hears the cry of the homeless. He hears the cry of the disadvantaged. The people in the nursing home who can give nothing for you. Like some human being would say, why would I go to the nursing home? They can't give me anything. Oh, what about this? God gave his best. God gives. God so loved that he gave. What about the dear missionaries that are out there living in conditions? They are celebrating and they are seeing it and recognizing it. Don't choke on your wealth. If you become a wealthy man, don't choke on it. Get condescend. Enjoy the humble. Enjoy the broken. Enjoy the people that are disadvantaged. Enjoy the people that can't do anything for themselves. Because God came into the world and said, glory, the angel said, glory to God, good peace on earth. And he said, goodwill towards those people. Goodwill towards them. A dad estranged for your son, call him up and say, goodwill toward you, son. That's the meaning of Christmas. Dad, I didn't think you'd ever talk to me again. I'm saying to you, it's Christmas time. Goodwill toward you, son. I am for you. I love you. And I'm after something good from God. Because that's the meaning of Christmas. That's what it is. The unsaved that are out here amongst us, they are so caught up in a world that is fast moving and taking them. Very quickly, Pastor Mati, and I'll finish. He told me on the phone in Oman, a sad story. Finnish people came to be with him for the week. And they had a beautiful time, a lot of joy, a lot of fun. They had a visitor, an Indian man from 27 years old, who was with them through the time, and they had a meeting, and he loved it. He loved the message. He loved everything. And he was the last to leave the house. And he left that night. A couple of days later, he had a car accident and he was killed. And it was over. And he said, you never know. We never know. We've been sent into the world. Let's redeem the time. For some of us, this might be the last year we live. Let's redeem the time. For some of us, this might be our last Christmas. Let's make it the most awesome by going with the angels and celebrating with them and understanding their message. Let's share it with all our heart, and not only this time, but all the time. Okay. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we're going to get together with gifts and food and merriment. We're going to laugh and talk and enjoy. Some folks are more alone, and they have this church as their family. We all have it as our family, and we love this celebration. We want to meditate on what the angels say about it, for they know something so deeply, and see it through their perspective. And Lord, if we could see it that way, oh God, how we would treat each other, how we would live the presence of our enemies, how we would redeem the time and understand the days are evil. If you're here today and never accepted Christ, tonight is your night. Say to Jesus, yes, I believe in you. Excuse me. Yes, I believe in you. Raise your hand, please. Anyone here? Yes, to the Lord. Anyone? Just the ushers will give you a booklet. Just raise your hand. Ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone? Just give them a little wave. Just say, I want a booklet. Go ahead, take it. Go ahead, take the booklet. Leah, these gentlemen, maybe they would like one. Go ahead, just give her a little wave. Take a booklet. Anyone else, just take one. Just say yes to Jesus, anyone at all. Yes, Lord, anyone at all. Lord, we praise you and thank you. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. It is serious, our condition as a human race. We are lost without Christ. We go to hell. Can you imagine it? I can't believe it. It's unbelievable. It is true. It is reality. Reality is reality. It's not your reality. It's God's reality. Reality is reality. Therefore, the angels greatly glorified God and understood it. And we want you to also. I just say to Christ, yes to him in your heart. Father, we thank you tonight for this time. Let's speak to hearts. And then for all of us as believers, that we would just catch it. and get it and live in it. Thank you for these years together as a body and our purpose on this earth. It is deep, it is powerful, it is wonderful. I don't forsake that assembly. I embrace it, I'm drawn to it, I live in it. We live in the anointing of Christ in the body of Christ. How amazing it is. Thank you for depth in our life. Understanding the dagger, the knife, when it comes our way, and taking it by the handle and handling it through Christ, through God, and teach us this in your name. Amen.